Welcome to the Sunday Monday Show, a podcast about being bold in faith, work, and life. I'm your host, Jane Kennedy. Let's get down to business. Hello and welcome to the Sunday Monday Show and our very special series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Over the next 9 weeks, I will be sharing 9 episodes with you on individual fruit of the Holy Spirit, which include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. For each of these fruit, I reached out to a friend who I feel like lives this fruit beautifully in their life, and we had a conversation about it. We talked about the fruit of that Holy Spirit. We talked about the challenges. We talked about living this in a world where it can be so hard to live these virtues. And we also talked about living it in our particular state of life. So some of these friends are married. Some of them have young kids. Some of them are single. Many of them work in some way. And I'm just so excited to share their stories with you because truly, I have been so inspired by these conversations. I think they're some of the best we've ever had on the Sunday Monday Show, and I cannot wait to share them with you. So without any further ado, welcome to our Fruit of the Spirit series, and let's get started. Hi, Courtney. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so, so excited to have you.
Hi, it's so good to see you, and I'm very happy to be here.
I truly can't think of anybody better to talk about the fruit of love today. You just radiate it and you live it. And I'm just so excited for you to share your wisdom. So thank you for saying yes to getting on this podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. This is like such an honor. And like, I'm just so honored that you asked me to do this. So thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for saying yes. All right. So would you mind just introducing yourself briefly for anyone who hasn't had the gift and pleasure of getting to meet you in person?
For sure. Okay. So I'm Courtney Taylor. I am a New Yorker, grew up and raised in New York, and I went to University of Vermont, where I double majored in phys ed and special ed. And so then after that, I became a focus missionary for 3 years, go focus. and then I was a teaching fellow. So I moved to the Bronx, and then I've been teaching now for 6 years. So yeah, now I'm a PE teacher for middle school.
I love that. It's so cool. I love that you, well, there's so many things about you and your story I love, but I love that you went from Focus, which is like a missionary organization. Then you're like, I'm not done. I'm going to do this again. And you went and did Seton Teaching Fellows, right. Which, you know, I've gotten to meet a lot of you who did that program. And I just think it's the coolest, the greatest gift. And you really get to live mission every single day, like so tangibly in your life and in your work. And yeah, it's cool. It's also cool that you had that foundation of focus first, right? So like you had this experience of like college kids and then you go to little kids. I'm sure that in many ways they're actually quite similar. And obviously in many ways they're different.
Yes, that's so true. It's I did notice that right from the beginning when I arrived. I was like, this is so funny. I feel like they're opposites, and then there's little things that are like, well, college student will just do the same thing.
Yeah. So funny. All right. So as we start talking about this fruit, how would you define love? And how do you see it and choose it in your daily life?
Wow. Okay. Well, first, I am no expert in love. So that's a first and foremost. I think that's, you know, a big thing. Love is... everyone's just trying to define love. I think that's always like been a search for any human being. And I think the first thing is that because I'm not like perfect in it, and I'm not an expert at all. The only expert that we do have is God, right? Like God is love. And he perfectly loves. And so whatever I think about how I define it, I honestly just try to go back to him, because it's just such a, it's complex and it's simple at the same time. So I would say that like love is a self gift, receiving and giving. And it does not ask for anything in return, but is a selfless gift, to another. And Yeah, I think that like when we think about it, we think about like love languages and different ways that we can give love. And there's so many things that are there's so many different ways that we give and receive it. And so I learn about it every second, every day, every minute. And I expand. I think that's the most important thing that I've learned since Focus, since teaching, since seeing teaching fellows, is that I have expanded my definition of it every day, all the time. And the more that we expand, I think the more that we can love.
Well, yeah, it's an expansion of, I think, definition and also an expansion of capacity, you know? My favorite thing to do on this podcast is misquote C.S. Lewis. I could get a gold medal in it. But there's a quote he talks about where he is like, you know, if you never want to like be hurt or you never want to experience suffering, like just like lock your heart up in a box. But then you also never receive like the joys and the sorrows of life. And I think that, you know, as we walk through life and as we experience like really good things and then walk through suffering and then walk with others as they're going through good things and sufferings, like our capacity for love grows, like our highs become higher and our lows become lower. And it's through that process, I think that, yeah, like the definition of love shifts. And something I love that you said is that love is something that gives without expecting a return, because I think that so much of the world is like receiving affirmation or like champions receiving affirmation, receiving love, receiving attention and approval, and just trying to get all these things back for doing something that's like an act of love. Like, oh, I'll go do this thing, or I will act in this way so that it in return I will get something, whether that's like, you know, a community service award or like a job or a relationship or whatever it is you're trying to like gain through your like gaming of the system. But I think that's such a mature definition of it, is that like love is not expecting something in return. Often things come in return because, like, you know, it's a good way to live your life, but at the same time, like, you know, it can't be done for the explicit intention, I think, of like of wanting something back, you know?
Yeah, and I think just like to expand on that, like the world has so many things that distracts us from, I think, pure love. Because like I think there's a difference between like loving something, like I love my soccer ball, but the love that is pure love is so different. And it, like, the world distracts us and thinks that we need to receive something back, like you were saying. So I think that like, and I when I really like discovered this is actually when I went on a mission trip to Trinidad. Was the very first time that I ever just like literally just received love from the people there, but never like felt guilty that I had to like give it back right away. And that was like one of the most pure loves that I've like felt ever. So it's hard to find, but yeah, I think that's like really important to remember.
Yeah, I think that it's those situations also, like as you talk about your mission trip, right? Like you get taken out of your normal context and it allows you to like see and receive things differently. Because you're more vulnerable to it, right? Like you're in a new place, you desire to love, you desire to give something. And I think that it's often when we walk into situations like that, like with a desire to pour ourselves out, that we're the most I don't know, open and available to receive it back, you know, or to receive something greater,
For
which is
sure.
so beautiful. That's so
Definitely.
good. So as we think about love, like how do you see it and how do you choose it in your daily life?
You know, yeah, there are definitely like so many ways we can see love. We could see love physically, we could see it through our words, we can like we can give love by gifts and things like that. So like the, you know, the love languages. But I think that ways that I really see it right now currently is presence. And not just like me sitting next to you, but real presence where you feel this intimate connection because somebody is solely like very fully present to you. And that is actually, I think, one of the greatest loves. I think that's because it's like if you think about like the real presence of Jesus, right, in the Eucharist, like he is fully present right there. And he just wants to love you right there. he's not saying anything necessarily. He's not hugging you. He's not giving you anything, but he's there. Mm-hmm. And this is like, every day I wake up every morning and I like pray this prayer where I ask the Lord to help me love within every encounter, within every interaction.
Oh, I love that.
Because like, that's the daily, right? Like, we don't know who we're going to encounter every day. Obviously, there are consistent mm-hmm. people we encounter every day, but we might encounter random people throughout our day. Mm-hmm. And those are opportunities that the Lord is giving us to be present and to love. And that's like, yeah, that's something that God is going to like give us each and every day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that idea of offering. It's so funny that you're saying this today, because today I am in the middle of kind of training for my new job, and we had this workshop all week, and I ended up like, I basically had today off. So I remember I woke up this morning and I was like, okay, like it's a Wednesday. Everybody has a job, so no one can hang out with me. Like, I guess I'm just available, right? Like, I guess I'm just available. Mm-hmm. And so I was praying, and in my morning prayer, I was like, all right, God, like I'm free today. Like, and I've been feeling like, we were talking before recording, like I just moved to not to New York. Oh, I moved to DC, and it's been a hard transition. And I found that every time I'm going through something that kind of is like hard for me, the only thing really that makes me feel better is like doing nice things for other people. Like, truly, it's the only thing. I'm like, I just have to get out of my head and get out of what is right in front of me and like serve other people. So I was just like, God, I'm available. Like, please, like, give me opportunities today to love people and to serve people. And I am not kidding. I had one of the most like connected days I've ever had. Like, wow. Had all these random people calling me, like asking for help on something. I had, you know, I got to have like, I ran into a friend, and then we went and got lunch after mass. Like, I, you know, got to talk to this woman who like lives on like down the street from where I am. And I don't know, there were just so many moments. And I came back tonight. When I got home, I was just like, wow, God, like today was such a good day. I was like, why am I in such a good mood? Like, I was like skipping up the steps. I'm like, why am I in such a good mood? It's like, oh, because like there was such like a sense of connection today of like loving mm-hmm. other people and getting to do that. And I love that prayer that you say, because I think that, you know, sometimes you don't really want to be available or like interruptible or like,
true.
Like that's not a desire all the time. Like, you know, most times I like have somewhere to get to and things to do and plans to make. But I think that living with a bit more openness to those interruptions allows us to love better. And especially your like focus on those little encounters, because I can imagine you have so many encounters every day with people who need love, who really need it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's such a great perspective. I love that.
Yeah. I think that's like, that's like so beautiful that you realize that like that was the connection that you made, like that was what like just made you so feel so available to God and everything. Like, yeah, I think we sometimes try to, and I've thought about this recently, we just like try to rush through our lives so much. Mm-hmm. Just get over with this weekend, get to the weekend, or let's just get over this day, whatever. I can't wait to just get home. And then that misses so many opportunities that we've had to like actually slow down mm-hmm. and just like be. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we do that, I realize that when I do that, I have actually like felt so much better about my day and felt mm-hmm. better about, or I felt loved. Actually, I feel more loved when I'm doing that. And I get to love, like you said, I serve people. I love people by being in front of them. And yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it makes you realize that there's like simpler things and just try to get through it all.
Yeah. When I talked to Skylar on the patience episode, she was speaking, and she brought up the verse of love is patient. And she was mm-hmm. talking about patience, right? And it's like, but also we can take that back to love. Like, love is patient. And so many of the moments that I have felt the most loved, like as I was thinking about this podcast, I was like, when have I felt most loved? It's like, I have felt the most loved when someone has taken the time to just like be with me, you know, whether it's like to be on a phone call and just like sit and listen, or to like come and sit with me, or to, you know, teach me something or to just be patient with me, right? Like those are the moments I felt so loved. And I think about how easy it is for me to dismiss invitations to be that for other people because I have places to go. And actually the Poco a Poco podcast today or yesterday, this week is on hospitality. And they talked about how one of the priests would go visit people in the hospital. And his rule was that he would always sit down in every room he visited because he wanted to be present with those people while he was in that room. And so instead of like poking his head in to see somebody, he would walk in and sit down. And I'm like, what an act of love, right? It's like an act of like, I'm here and I'm going to sit. And that's like an act of hospitality, an act of love. But we can't do that if there's no margin, you know, if there's no margin in our day or in our life, you know, because I think love is frequently pretty inconvenient.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So in speaking about that, what are some ways that you handle moments of struggling to live love in your life?
There's so many times where I have failed for sure. Definitely have failed so much in love. I think that at first, okay, I don't know about other people, but for me, I am very hard on myself when I don't love somebody. I get really upset or like if somebody just comes to me and was like, you didn't love me here or they're upset at me something, it really bothers me. I'm just like very, very relational that way. So I can be very hard on myself and not give myself mercy. But also I think and there's part of me that has pride that I can love really well. I don't know if that's for other people, but like, I have this huge pride that I'm like, I'm really good at loving people. I'm 29 years old. I've loved people all my life, you know? So I think that's like why I get so upset. 'Cause I'm like, wow, I messed up. How could I? And so something I have to remember is that one, I have to be humble, that I can't love perfectly, that I am human. I'm not God. I'm human. And like there's ways that I can grow and be better. And so that reminds me to give myself mercy. And that like, I have to accept that I'm not going to love everyone perfectly. Only God can. When I like finally accepted that, it helped me to actually be a better lover, a better person that loved people. And that it's okay if we don't love as best as we can, as long as we like go back and like ask the Lord to give us the grace to be better.
Well, thank you for being so open about that, because I do think that with a lot of these fruits and with a lot of virtue in our lives, you know, there are virtues that we can feel prideful about because people tell us like, you're really good at this. Like you love people really well. And I agree with you though, that it can become prideful. I know for me, like I have a rule that if the Holy Spirit kind of prompts me to reach out to somebody, I do it. Like I don't really give myself much of a choice. And when I do put it off, it prompts me again. I'm prompted again and again and again until I do it. But there are times where like, I have so much going on. There's so much happening and I am getting this prompting, like reach to this person, reach out to this person. I don't do it. And I've gotten to this place of being able to finally be like, I'm doing the best I can. And like, sometimes it's just offering a little prayer and knowing like, I don't know what this person's walking through right now. I don't know why they keep coming up, but I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to entrust them to you, God. Because I can't do it. You know, like I can't do this now. And I think the Lord like actually really loves that because he loves our littleness, you know, and he loves the things where we realize like, this is a bit too big for me at the moment.
Right.
And I'm going to need your help on this one. Because yeah, I do think that like, the other thing that I get a little prideful about sometimes is like, I know how I like to be loved. Like I know what it's for me. And for me, it's quality time. Like I want someone to be with me, like hanging out with me, talking to me, even just like we can sit in the same room and read. And that's, I'm so happy. Like the other day, my friend and I were at her building's pool and both of us were sitting there reading for hours. And I was like, I'm so happy. I feel so loved. This is so good. or like people like doing things for me. Like that also makes me feel very loved. And so when I'm feeling like I want to do something for somebody else, what do? I'm like, okay, like I'm coming to spend time with you. Like I'm going to like do acts of service for you and like try to make things easier in your life. And having to realize sometimes that like, that's not really what people like want, you know, like sometimes people want that, but a lot of time people need other gifts, you know, and other, bless you. They just need other, they need other things. And so I think becoming a bit more humble about like, hey, like I want to be here for you. How can I be here for you right now? Like what is going to be the most, you know, the best thing I can do for you? And how can I love you specifically? Without just trying to do the things that I would want done for me, you know? I mean, that's a good place to start, but like, I don't know, trying to be a bit more personal about it.
Yeah, I think that's actually so important because, we have this tendency to want to love the way we want to love, like you were saying. And I think that's something I've learned is that sometimes it's a choice to actually do something different than the way that you've loved before. And I've met like multitude of different people in my life. And I've run into stumbling blocks where I've loved that person the way I feel loved and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to like almost just alter the way that I viewed somebody and realize, wait a minute, this person like might actually feel loved in a little bit different way that I'm actually not comfortable with, but I'm going to try. And mm-hmm. just even in that try, in that choice, that's in love itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it's like really important that we almost expand our mind in that sometimes, especially as we get older and like, and grow in experience, that we have to constantly like almost revert ourselves that each person God puts in front of us is a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And they might need love in different ways, but we need to like open ourselves up and think, okay, how does God want me to love this person and show me?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you were saying that, it's, I think truly the biggest way I struggle to love people is like, we can't, with all these fruits, but especially with love, like you can't love other people if you don't have like a well
mm-hmm.
of love yourself. Right? Like if you are not receiving love, it's very hard to love other people. And like, as much as we want, like, I think sometimes there's a little like hole at the bottom of the bucket when it comes to like receiving, at least for me, like I'm insatiable. Like, I'm like, I want so much attention and so many accolades and everyone to tell me like how great I am and how loved I am. And it just, it's like the well, right? That you have to go back to again and again because it doesn't fill you up. And it's really only when I am feeling loved by God and allowing him to actually love me and like love me personally mm-hmm. and every day and in the things that I like desperately need him to love me in, like that's when I can love other people. That's when I'm more patient. That's when I'm more like mostly more attuned. Like then I'm attuned to when people need to be loved, right? Because if I'm already stuck in my head trying to catch love from everybody I can like find, you know, like then yeah. I don't have any time, space, or capacity to like be aware of other people's needs because I'm just so focused on my own lack.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that's another place I've seen is like going back to God and saying, God, like a prayer I pray every morning is, Jesus, I give you permission to love me today. And I give you permission to show me how you love me. And then if I'm feeling a little spicy, I'll say, I give you permission to surprise me. Which is always, always a little, you never really know what's going to come down the pipe. But I like those because what it does is one, it's giving him the permission, right, to love me, and to show me that love and to surprise me. And two, it makes me more aware of it, right? Then I'm walking through the day, like, all right, I gave him permission to love me. So what is he doing? And like, where is he today? And that also helps me, I think, love other people better.
Yeah, I love that. I love that prayer. That's so good. I think the permission part is definitely hard, like to allow somebody to just like do to love you in that way. Sometimes we don't want, like we don't allow other people to.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time before college, I thought love was like a one-way street where I just give love, give love, give love, but I don't need to necessarily receive it. And I learned that, like, actually, I'm not loving somebody by not receiving their love because I didn't give permission to love me. And I also learned that with God. Like, I did not know God before college because I did not allow him to for me to be loved by him. I was not allowed, wall, like just a whole wall. But when we open ourselves, that it gives permission, it allows just like so much to be received, but to give at the same time. And it's just like a great flow of love that goes back and forth, right? Like we'll give, we'll receive, we will give. Mm-hmm. So I love that you said that we give permission, because I think that's like really hard for a lot of people, is to give permission to God each day and to other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because again, other people also can't love us if we're not giving them permission, if we're not being vulnerable about our needs, if we're not being clear that like, hey, like I really could like use some love here. Like this is a place where I could really use some support. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that we often will like lock ourselves up from so many things because we, you know, want to deal with it ourselves, or feel like, you know, it's weak or lame to like ask for people to come and like sit and read with us or whatever it is that we just feel like we're desiring at that moment, you know?
Just love me.
Please just love me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so good. Is there anyone in your life who you think like really exemplifies this fruit well, or maybe has like influenced your own journey?
Yes. So many people I can think of. I would say kind of started, she started this journey for me and continues to do so, even though I'm not like with her. But one of my friends in college, her name's Paula Pena. She is the one who really just loved me for me from like day one that I met her. And it was funny because when I met her, I thought I was like the most joyful person ever. And I thought I had a lot of joy. And then I met her and she was more joyful than I. And I was like, what? Like, why do you have more joy than I do? And what I like learned is that a lot of the reason was because of God. She just exemplifies pure love, because she'll serve and serve and serve and never expect anything back. And I think that she was one of the first people in my life that just like wanted to serve me and me alone and never like expected anything back from me. Mm-hmm. And she just like wanted to show me what true pure love is. And I just opened up to her because of that. And I learned that, like I was saying, kind of like that give and receive, that two-way street. I like used to draw this like heart that was kind of broken up and you can like go in and out of it. And it was just a reminder for me to open up my heart to God and to people, but also to give and receive it at the same time. So it was like a two-way open heart. But anyway, so this person, Paula, she just like really showed me that. And I say that she continues to show me that because she loved me so well that even though I haven't seen her in a while, she lives in Connecticut. She's not too far, but I don't see her every day. I still feel her love because it was so pure and it was so like there was just so much quality in it. That like I just thinking about her, I feel loved.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing. I want to meet her. Anyone who could possibly be more joyful than you is wild to me. Because you are truly, if not the most joyful, one of the absolute most joyful people I've ever met in my life. But it's so interesting, right? Because I feel like so many of these fruits come together, right? Like it's
right.
When we're able to like have peace, then we can have joy. When we're able to have love, we can have joy. When we're being generous and faithful and kind, like all of these things, right? They all kind of like, they all contribute to the sense of like inner peace, and that inner peace can allow us to like live freely and joyfully, right? Because I think the biggest, at least to me, the biggest stumbling block to like joy is like fear sometimes, right? Like fear or kind of like a desire for control, like these things that kind of separate us from resting with God. And it's like whenever I'm in a place of like receiving God's love and really allowing him to love me. Like recently I've just been praying so much, like, Jesus, like, I'm just like a little child. Like, I just need you to walk with me and hold me and take care of these things, you know, and take care of everything so that I can just rest and love you. And he does, he takes care of so many things. But it's like when I finally, you know, relax into that, I can feel so much more the fruits of all, like all of the fruit of the Spirit kind of coming through my life. And so I love that you point out kind of that kind of the initial attraction was this joy, right? And then you saw that they came through love. And Saint Jose Maria Escriva has like a whole bunch of writings on cheerfulness. Like he was really, really into cheerfulness. I actually have one on my phone I'll read because I've been keeping this on my phone because it's a reminder for me. And he said, the cheerfulness of a man of God, of a woman of God has to overflow. It has to be calm, contagious, attractive. In a few words, it has to be so supernatural and natural, so infectious that it may bring others to follow Christian ways. And I love that because it's true. Like there's nothing more attractive or contagious than joy. And it's when, you know, we can live in freedom, the freedom of knowing we're loved, the freedom of knowing we're free to love, that we can like have that cheerfulness. And one last thing this reminded me of is just like, I don't know. I heard this last week of this idea of like, we are made like by love, through love, and for love. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that all of us, every single person in our culture alive today, so desperately desires to be loved, like it makes sense. Like we were designed that way. We were designed to be made for love. But I think the biggest trap we fall into is this idea of thinking that being made for love means that we're being made to receive a bunch of love. But the reality is that like we're made to give love. Right. And to love and to worship God and then to love the people around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I love that quote that you said. That's like so, yeah, that just reminds me. Yeah, I don't know. It's like you said, like the virtues, they teach us how to love more. Mm-hmm. And like they allow us the opportunities to love more. And they give us, like even today, I was at the nail salon and I was like waiting. I'm like, wait a minute. I think I need to be more patient. If I mm-hmm. don't, then I will like not love these people who are trying to take care of me, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, like even in joy, like, I don't know if you've heard like what joy stands for. Jesus, others, yourself.
I love. It's so fun.
Yeah. And just like within that, yeah, there's like an attraction. There's a natural attraction. I fell in love with Jesus because I was attracted to this joy that Paula had. And Paula then showed me that that was because of God, mm-hmm. you know? And so like, yeah, it definitely has to be, it joy is just naturally attractive. Like I've been told that like, sometimes I have a loud laugh and like, it just comes out of me. I don't know why.
It's amazing. Laugh. It's just a great laugh.
It's very hard to like to contain. So
yeah,
sometimes people have told me that like when I laugh, they just feel like laughing too. And like I love that. That's like so good. That's what I feel like that's what we can give each other, right? Mm-hmm. It's like I think goodness is attractive. Love is attractive. We all want it and desire it, but we just get distracted by the other things that are desirable in this world. And because love is so good and strong, like the devil just like wants to rip it apart and make it to nothing, you know?
Or yeah. Distort it. And he distorts it in so many ways.
Yes.
Of like, if you look this way, you will be loved. If you achieve this thing, you will be loved. If you, you know, live in this place or have this job or whatever it is, like there's always like this little carrot he'll dangle. And often it's, you know, the same attack over and over and over again. On this like such a basic desire of our hearts to be loved. And mm-hmm. you have God standing there saying like, stop this nonsense, like come to me and let me love you, right? Like just come here and let me love you. Yeah, it's it's a battle. And I think it's a battle every single day. Like, I love that both you and I just shared prayers that we say first thing in the morning, because the battles start early and they do not stop all day. But recognizing that value of like kind of rooting myself, at least, in truth. And I'm sure for you, it's the same, like root yourself in that truth, invite God in, will allow us to, one, be more aware of the ways we can love other people, and two, immediately start the day by receiving God's love, which is, you know, the water that actually satisfies us versus the like, well, did I get likes on this post? Or I don't know, did anyone text me back while I was asleep? Or I don't know. All these things that we just like hold up as like the symbols of like, are we loved? He just knows that he has so much more for us.
Yes, he does. That's for sure.
All right, Courtney. So what is your advice to someone who is longing to love better? Maybe they're like, oh yeah, I feel like I've been a little bit shaken up by this. Like, I think there's, you know, other ways I could be receiving love and giving love. Like, what would be your advice to someone who's interested in growing in this virtue?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I think, there's like so much advice out there. There's so many. But what I've been kind of stuck on within the last year is this book that I read called Life is Messy. And it's written by Matthew Kelly. It is a very simple, short book, but I'm not very like a big reader, so it works for me.
Matthew Kelly is great.
He's great. He's so great. He's to the point. I understand him. But anyways, in that book, it just talks a lot about how, yeah, life is really messy. However, sometimes the solution to that is that actually life is kind of simple, and that we actually can do a lot more simple things. And so what I would say to someone, I think, is that love can be simple. It can be really simple. And we're actually created out of love. And so we have a natural tendency to love. However, because of all the things that go on in our mind and sin and like the distractions, we forget what true love can be. And so I would just say to someone, like, pause and reflect, give yourself mercy, and realize that, like, just a small act, just and it is an act, because love is a verb, right? It's like to do something. And find just one way to love, and then allow it to grow from there. It's like a little seed that will, you just give a little bit of water, a little bit of sun, and all of a sudden it's a flower, you know? But allow it to grow, because I think that we can really, really complicate love because it's such a big thing. But like I was saying earlier, start with presence. Start there. And it's okay. We're all human. Like, there are plenty of people who have not loved me well. And there are plenty of people I haven't loved well. But that's when we need to remind ourselves that God can help us, and that we need to be humble and just kind of begin again.
I truly love that. Yeah, I love Matthew Kelly. This idea of simplicity, I think, is so important and so resonant. Like, as I've started working again, I've realized, like, this summer, you know, I was praying morning prayer and night prayer and like going to mass every day and doing a holy hour every day and like praying the rosary every day. I have, you know, been living a very, I've had a lot of time. And so I've been praying a lot, and it's been fantastic. And I really loved it. But this week has really kind of been an invitation to think a little bit about, like, okay, God, this might have to be simplified a little bit. Like, I don't know if I'm going to have the same amount of time. And I'm sure if I were really hardcore, I could wake up at 4 and do it all, but, I'm weak and little, so I'm not going to do that. But it's like, okay, so what are those simple things? And I realized, like, oh, like waking up and having time for prayer. Like, that is so important. Praying the rosary, like, I had a few days this week that I did not pray it, and I felt it. Like, I can feel it. I can feel it. But I also, like, have a stack of spiritual books as tall as me sitting here that I'm looking at that, like, I want to read, but maybe right now it's not the time to read all of the books. Maybe right now is the time to read a couple pages a day and actually allow that to impact me versus like ripping through these books because I think I'm going to like find the answers to all of my problems in them. And so often Jesus is like, look at me, like put down the books and the Google search and the podcasts and like all of it and like put it all down and like, look at me and just let me love you. And yeah, I think simplicity with so many things is the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. There's just like all these good things, like those spiritual books are really good. Podcasts are really good. Like all these things are going to help us nourish and grow, but we don't have to do it all. Mm-mm. Like God already provided so much in front of you that you're like, you can be just okay with that. You know, like even like Mother Teresa would say, like, you could do all these prayers and that's really, really, really good. However, you must have at least 30 minutes of just silence and that's it. That's all you need for prayer. Like just silence with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so simple, but we like think that we need to do so much more rigorous things and make it more complicated than it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Saint Therese of Lisieux, like you read her book and you just realize like, oh, like she loved so well. And how did she love? Like the sister in front of her was tapping her pen and it was annoying Saint Therese. So she just offered it up and was like, okay, like, yeah, this is, I'm annoyed by this, but I'm going to love her through this. And maybe she's tapping the pen for a reason. And, or like the sisters who would interrupt Saint Therese during her like chores. And instead of looking at that as like annoying, because it probably was, she invited those interruptions and she would truly pray before her chores. Like, God, like, I pray that like anyone who needs to interrupt me will interrupt me. And if no one does, then that is a gift from you. And I will receive that beautiful gift. But like she sanctified every little thing she did. And so it's even outside of our prayer, right? Like we can love people by simply being like, okay, this car isn't moving and the light is green. I'm going to sit here patiently and wait a second. Or like you're at the nail salon. Okay, my appointment was 40 minutes ago. This is a little bit frustrating. Like I'm just going to wait with love and assume people are doing the best they can. And sometimes that's all it takes. That's like that's a heroic act of love to be patient, to deal with an interruption, to love someone when they're driving you crazy. Like those are heroic, heroic acts of love. Again, we have the strength of that from prayer, but yeah, I love the, that idea of just doing little things with great love, which is Mother Teresa quote, I think.
It is. Yes. That's what she said. I mean, like, she's like one of my inspirations of just like who I want to be. You know, somebody asked me that the other day. They're like, who's somebody that you just like resemble or you want to resemble in like your life or just want to be? And I'm like, I want to be like her because she took the greatest. She took things that were like so hard for us and just loved well and was like so faithful to God and just literally was like, everything that I do is for him. Mm-hmm. Everything. But yeah, so just gotta be like that. That's all.
It's so easy. We just, everybody, that's the cliff notes of this. Just be like Mother Teresa.
You know?
Just wake up tomorrow, fresh start, 30 minutes of silent prayer, and you're on your way.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, say Mother Teresa, pray for us, please.
Please do.
It was her feast day yesterday, right?
It was her feast day, yeah. And she's my confirmation saint, too.
What a great confirmation saint.
Yeah. Oh,
spectacular.
Yeah, it was so funny, too, when I picked her for my confirmation. I had no idea. The only reason I picked her is because she had mother in front of her. Mm. That was different than anyone else. So I was like, oh, that sounds great. Like, she's different.
No, I love the way we picked them.
I know. Seriously. Did not know I was picking a very intense woman, but lovely woman.
You did a great job. Yeah, I know. Every once in a while, my confirmation saint is Saint Teresa. And my entire confirmation saint or my entire group of confirmandi, whatever, it was all of the women either had Saint Lucy or Saint Cecilia. And I was between Saint Lucy and Saint Cecilia because like Saint Cecilia is the patron saint of music. And Saint Lucy is like a girl, and so everybody's like fantastic, like they've got pretty names. And and then now that like I know so many saints, I'm like, oh, this is so cool, like picking more saints to adopt me.
Nice.
But I ask for Saint Cecilia's intercession all the time, and she's lovely. But yeah, it's just so funny that, like, one of my best friends, her confirmation, actually I have two really good friends whose confirmation saint is Saint Valentine. They're like, I just, you know, I was a teenage girl and Saint Valentine is the patron saint of love, so which is so great.
That's awesome, actually. Wow. I never heard of Saint Valentine as someone's confirmation saint.
Yeah, I know too.
Look at that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Saint Valentine is a great intercessor for better love, everyone. So you can call on him too. Every saint, I think, at the heart of who they were, was they loved.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been a joy, Courtney. Do you have anything left to say on love before we go to our last question? Any final thoughts, meditations?
Final thoughts. It's hard to wrap it up in one. I mean,
be Mother Teresa.
I got it. I love you and I love everyone.
Done.
That's it. Just know that you are loved. That's usually the best way to put it, I think. Yeah. And if you don't know that you're loved, just go to him, because he will consistently and always love you. So, yeah.
I love that. So good. All right, Courtney, what is working for you lately?
What is working
anything,
for me?
Anything you're like reading, praying through, singing? What are you loving lately?
Singing. Oh boy, you don't want me to sing.
I would love for you to sing for us.
Not quite. We'll hold on that. What is working for me? So I am actually, okay, so I'm doing this thing. I'm kind of revamping myself this year a little bit. I've kind of lost, and like I said, I'm human, I'm not perfect. And even though I was a missionary and I did a lot of these things where I prayed every day, I went to mass every day, and I worked out every day, that since coming into education and teaching long, long, long hours, it has slowly dwindled that has become my daily. And it's very hard, you know, working in a real life job and just out there, it's like very hard, like you said, get those things down. So this year I'm doing this challenge called the Holy Trinity Challenge.
Ooh.
And basically what it is I'm focusing on mind, body, and soul. And so for the mind, prayer; for the body, working out; and soul is going to mass. And so my challenge is that I do those three every day as best as I can, no matter the time. If it's like 30 minutes of prayer, that's great. But if it's five, okay, like that's all I could do today. That's all right. But the goal is to try to get those three down each day, to focus on that one that I like can do it and I can fit those things, those three things in my day, but also that I reprioritize what's important. And that, like, speaking back to love, I think when I do those three things, I love better. I feel like I'm more present to people, and that I am like, I'm the my best self, you know? So that's my challenge this year. And if I don't do that throughout a day, those three, that's okay. I have a whole new day. As you say, like, we wake up, we have a whole new day, and try again. So, yeah.
I love this. No, that's so good. It's so good. And I think your experience too of like, you are a missionary, this was your daily life. Like, I think what can be so hard is when we go from a season, or like when I was a college student, right? Like, I had so much time to pray and go to mass and all these things, or like this summer, I have so much time. And it's like, it is so tempting to just throw it all out and be like, well, since I can't do it all, or I can't do a whole hour in adoration in front of Jesus, therefore I shall do none. And so I very much commend you for this challenge, because I truly think like, how long have you been doing this?
I started this summer. So this basically came together this summer in July. I like had a lot of time of prayer and reflection, because I don't have work. So it's nice as a teacher. So during the summer, I prayed a lot, and this kind of just like came through prayer. God kind of really inspired me. I was just like really reflecting on how I've been throughout my years, and then as I like journaled and wrote about it, like that was like when I decided, okay, August 1st, I'm starting this challenge. When I get back to work, like get back to New York in my normal life, I will start to do this challenge. So I've been starting since August 1st.
That's amazing. That's so good. What a great challenge.
Thanks.
I'm excited. I'm excited for you to, I don't know. I just think that like a group of us did Fiat 90 this year. And like, there's something about writing a list of like, this is what we're going to do. And then watching yourself do it and seeing the fruit from it. It just really is so, it's the annoying thing of like, oh wow. Like when I pray and exercise and go to mass, like it really does make my life better.
Right. Crazy. Right.
Darn. I guess that this is just what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
It always happens. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But what's like really important about the challenge that I'm trying to emphasize is that I know and I accept that it's not going to be perfect that I'm doing all three each day, you know, and that's okay. And like, we could get so down on ourselves that like, dang it, I'm a terrible Catholic. I'm not praying. I'm not going to mass. And now I'm getting fat because I'm not exercising. You know, like you could just be like, well, screw it. It doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. The goal is to like really mentally realize like I'm trying to prioritize. My intention is to prioritize these three things. That is like you said, we wrote it down. Like we're committing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the challenge to do it. And if not, that's okay. But you still had the intention. But if I didn't challenge myself, it was like, oh, I never really intended to pray. I never really intended to go to mass, you know? That's like that's the part that's really important. Like you said, with Fiat 90, you just like, you knew it, that we would feel better. But now that you like doing it together, you're written down like, oh, okay, this is a lot more intentional.
Absolutely. I think intentionality is so important with so many things, even if it's like, maybe it's even an intention after listening to this podcast of like tomorrow, like each day I will do one thing that I wouldn't normally do, like out of love for someone. And for maybe you set like a goal to see, like do something sneaky for people. That's like an act of love that maybe no one's going to see, right? Like God will see, but no one else is going to see. And I think, having a little bit of an intention really does make a difference. So very inspirational. Thank you, Courtney, for that one.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. I'm just truly so happy we were able to get you in and have you here, because I truly can't think of anyone who I would rather have here to talk about love. So thank you for taking the time in the middle of your busy school week.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Sunday Monday Show. If you liked it, if you enjoyed it, if you learned something, we would be so appreciative if you shared it with a friend. Shoot it in a text, post it on social media, whatever you want to do. Sharing these episodes helps more people find them. And while you're doing that, if you could rate and review these episodes, that would also be so appreciated. If you're looking for more, you can follow us on Instagram at thesundaymonday_ or visit us online at www.thesundaymonday.co, where we have tons of articles and free resources designed to help you be bold in your faith, work, and life. Until next time, thanks so much for being here. Get back to work. I love you all. Bye.